Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 4. Appreciate that.
Appreciate the ladies of our church. John chapter 5. Please pray for Brother Hartley. He was going to preach this evening if he was able, and he's not here, so he's not going to preach. But do pray for him. He struggles with a lot of health problems, and just keep him living your prayers all the time. John chapter 5, this evening we're going to study verses 25 through 30. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. The title of the message this evening is "The Dead Shall Live." Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of eternal life to all who believe. I pray, Lord, tonight you would just convict our hearts and challenge us by your word. You know, we would live, Lord, in light of eternity. And Lord, just help me now from nothing without you. Please bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This evening, I have two things I want to share with you as we study this passage of Scripture. The dead shall live. And we're going to learn about the hour of salvation and the hour of the resurrection. And we look at verse 25 again. Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly. We learned a couple of weeks ago how important that phrase is. Jesus is getting our attention to let you know I'm saying something very true, something very important. And he says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, we studied last week, verse 24, and we know that those who hear the Word of God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but are passed from death unto life. And so this verse 25 speaks about the hour of salvation. He said, the hour is coming, and the hour now is. And Jesus is saying presently that those who hear my voice will stop being dead and they'll be made alive. But he also talks about a coming time and a different hour, the hour of the resurrection. He goes on to say in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And there's going to be a great resurrection day when Jesus is going to raise everybody up unto judgment. And so we want to learn about these two different hours when the dead shall live. I want you to notice, first of all, as the hour of salvation, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear that here shall live. By the way, it goes right along with the message this morning. You'll notice right here that because Jesus is the Son of God, he can raise the dead to life again. And because Jesus was the Son of Man and lived sinless, a perfect and sinless life, he is able to be the judge of all mankind. And we see his deity and his humanity right here in this passage as well. And so when we consider this hour of salvation, notice that Jesus is life. They that hear shall live. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And life is found in God. In him is life. And Jesus has life in himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And Jesus Christ is the word of God. And when he spoke and people believed in him, they got life. And you know what? We take this book and we preach the gospel. And when people hear it and believe it, they get life today as well. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. This book is the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, you can live. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And when you hear the word of God, you're hearing the word of Jesus Christ. You're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we hear his word and we believe his word, we are given life. We're passed from death unto life. And when you hear that word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, when you believe in that, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And listen, if you're saved, somewhere down inside your heart, you know that you're saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How is that? Well, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence inside us, and there is an assurance inside of your soul that you know that you're saved. What is that? It's the earnest of the Spirit. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Listen, if you go out to buy a piece of property, you put down earnest money. You're making a promise that you're going to buy that property, and this is a promise of future payment to come. And what the Holy Spirit of God is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we know that we're saved. And because His Spirit is inside of us, we know that one day we'll be in heaven with God forever and ever. Y'all go ahead and wake up and amen that if you want to. Listen, this, it doesn't get any better than this, folks. Eternally separated from God, and just by hearing and believing the word of Christ, we have eternal life. He's life, but he is also judge. We read in our text, verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because he's the Son of God, he gives life. Because he's the Son of Man, he judges. Because Jesus Christ became a man and lived as a man and was in all points tempted yet as we are, yet without sin, he is the rightful judge of all things. He lived perfect and sinless, and he has every right to judge all things because he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. He says he's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. We studied a couple of weeks ago, John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. Now we know that there's going to be more than one judgment. We know that there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ where the saved are judged according to their works. And we know there's going to be the great white throne judgment where those that are dead without Christ will be judged according to the word of God. And we look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And friends, we need to get this. Sometimes we think, well, listen, I'm not going to be at that great white throne judgment, so I don't have to worry about the judgment. You're right. If you're saved, you're going to heaven no matter what. But listen, Jesus is still your judge. And we're still going to give an account for the way that we've lived as saved people. And it ought to affect our hearts and affect the way that we live. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're going to give an account for how we've lived in this fleshly body, whether we've done good or whether we've done bad. So what are you saying, preacher? If I did too much bad, I'm going to end up going to hell, losing my salvation? No. but you will either gain or lose your rewards before the Lord. And I want you to know something. You can live a lifetime of faithfulness to God and gain much rewards in heaven to the glory of God. Those rewards aren't going to get you a better position in heaven or anything like that. Your rewards are going to bring more glory to Jesus. But you can live a lifetime amassing rewards for Jesus, and you can lose those rewards in an instant. You can't lose your position in heaven, but you can sure lose those rewards. No, we need to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our judge. Not only the judge, the judgment seat of Christ, but the judge at the great white throne. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, I want you to notice that at this judgment, it's the dead that are judged. Who are the dead? Well, those are the ones who didn't hear the voice of Jesus Christ. They're the ones who have not heard the word of God and who have not believed in the word of God. Well, what are we saying in our text? Listen, when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God and they believe in him, they live. They're not dead anymore. But those who don't hear and they don't believe, they're dead and they stay dead. Separated from God by their sin, and those that are separated from God by their sin will be judged at this great white throne. Their names are not written in the book of life. And by the way, they will be judged according to their works. It's not just are they in the book or not in the book. They're going to be judged by their works. But ultimately, everyone whose name is not found written in that book will be cast into the lake of fire. The second death. Eternal death, eternal separation. And I know I've mentioned this before, but listen, people say, well, everybody's going to live forever. They just either going to live forever in heaven or live forever in hell. And I get what you're saying. There's going to be an eternal existence. But my Bible doesn't say these people live forever. It says they die forever. Forever dead. Forever separated from God. Forever burning in that lake of fire. And listen, I don't like the reality of hell, and I don't like to preach about hell, but friend, people need to know that there is a place called hell. They need to know that there is a lake of fire. They need to know without Christ they are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they have no hope for eternity apart from the Word of God in Jesus Christ. They're dead. They have no life in them. And why is it that we have outreach and visitation? And why is it that we print up these nice little gospel tracts and we print them by the thousands to hand out? Why is it that I'm always harping on you to hand these things out? Because this has the word of life. Somebody can pick this up, read it, understand the gospel, and be saved and not have to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Listen, we're called to share the gospel with people. And it's not just so we can feel good about ourselves, and it's not just so we don't have to feel guilty when the preacher talks about it. It's so the people might be saved. Amen. When they hear Jesus and believe on him, they live. But if they don't hear, how can they be saved? But we've been called. We've been sent. We've been sent to proclaim the gospel. We've not been sent to proclaim some kind of social help. We've not been called and sent to invite people to church. We've been called and sent to preach the gospel. You saying we shouldn't invite people to church? No, of course I'm not saying that. What kind of pastor would I be? But that's not our goal. Our goal is to share the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, when I'm witnessing to somebody, we get to talking about a lot of things. Saturday we had visitation, outreach, whatever you want to call it, and Brother Brian and I got to go and talk to a man. We talked to him for a long time and got to share the gospel. We talked about everything in the world, but we're always trying to come back to the gospel. And if I can't say anything else to him, I'm going to quote scripture to him. I'm going to tell him the gospel in my own words. I might give him my testimony in my own words, but I want to give him the word of God. Why? Because that's what affects people's hearts. Brother Brian said, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know what that is? That's the word of God, and that will convict a man's heart like nothing else. The hour of salvation, and people need to know that hour is now. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. When is there a good time to get saved? Now. Amen. Notice also the hour of the resurrection. He says in verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." And again, we see Jesus deferring to the Father. We see him as one with the Father, equal with the Father. And all of his judgment is the judgment of God the Father. All of his will is the will of God the Father. It's not that he's not God. It's just that he is God. That's exactly what he's saying. He's equal with God. Everything he does is in accordance with God the Father. But go back and look at verse 28. "The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." And I've got some people I told you about, some people I know that think once you're dead, that's it, that's the end of it. You die, they put you in the ground, and that's it forevermore. But I want you to know that the Bible says, Jesus says, every person is going to be raised up at his voice. Everybody. In other words, nobody is going to be exempt from this judgment. He's going to judge every person that's ever lived. There's going to be a resurrection of life for those who believe. Now you say, but I don't get this. He says those that have done good get life. Well, we got a problem though, because we know that there's no good thing in us. Remember Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 25. Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death?" And Paul says, listen, I want to do good, but there's no good in me. How am I going to be saved from this? I don't have any goodness. The Bible says that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Who shall deliver me? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Listen, Philemon 1:6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Whatever good is in us isn't in us. And those that do good can only do good through Jesus Christ. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And there is nothing that we can do good. And there's some people in the world today that hate God. It's funny because they say they don't believe in God, and yet they have campaigns against God that they don't believe in. How can you hate somebody you don't believe in? They have billboards that say, do good for goodness sake. And they say, see, we don't believe in God, and we can still do good things for other people. But I'm going to tell you something. One day they're going to stand before God in judgment. And one day they're going to declare all the good things that they did. And God is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. But we did all these good things. We didn't need you to do good things. See, we can't do anything good apart from God. There's no goodness in us. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How can we do good work? By the grace of God. It's not in ourselves. We have to depend completely on Him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know we're saved by grace through faith. It's not our works, but, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you can never be good enough to be saved.
Amen.
Your good works will never get you there. And we do not work to be saved.
Amen.
But when you're saved, you ought to work.
Amen.
When you're saved, you're created by His workmanship to do good works.
Amen.
You couldn't do good works before you're saved. But after you're saved, He's made you to do good works by His grace. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, all of the wisdom and spiritual understanding, all of the ability to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, all of the ability to be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, all of those things are only possible for those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, all that to say, those people that are done good and get resurrected to eternal life, listen, they're not, their goodness isn't in themselves. All goodness comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But there's another resurrection. There's a resurrection of damnation. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You say, well, preacher, I'm in trouble because I've done a lot of evil. And I could say the same thing. And there is no good thing in me but Christ.
Amen.
But Christ is in me. Therefore, by His merit in the judgment, I am not evil. I'm good.
Amen.
You get that?
Amen.
Not based on me and what I've done or what I've done since I've been saved, but my merit before God, my justification before God, I am not evil in the eyes of God. I am good because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ought to let that sink in for a minute. Especially if you're like me and you know you're not good. I've been saved since I was 14 years old and I have not been good. I failed Him. I've sinned against Him. I've done things that I look back on and I think, how could I have ever even done that?
Amen.
And yet, in the judgment, He will not see my evil. He'll see me as good. I want to give you something. Every time you see the word damnation in your Bible, that word means judgment. And it doesn't always mean eternal judgment. Sometimes the Bible uses the word damnation and it's just talking about a temporary judgment. That that you're going to get in trouble with God if you don't straighten up. You're going to face some consequences. There's going to be some chastisement. Sometimes it's talking about a temporary judgment. And we see the word damnation, that's serious, right? And it is serious. But it's not always eternal. But this is eternal damnation. He's going to raise them up to judge them. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. You ought to write that down or underline it or something. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 12. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, there's going to come a day when Jesus, by his grace, is going to raise us up. And those who have trusted in his word, you've heard his voice and answered with faith, he's going to raise you up to life eternal. But there are going to be those who have rejected his voice, who have rejected his gospel, and they're going to hear his voice in that day, and they're going to be raised up, and they're going to face flaming fire, everlasting destruction from the presence and the glory of God. Friend, that's what every person in this world without Christ faces tonight. See, we don't like those verses. But we need those verses. Jesus preached about hell. Most of the time he talked directly about hell, he was speaking to his disciples. Why? They're saved. They're not going to hell. Because it ought to motivate us to go and warn others. How can we claim to have the compassion of God? How can we claim to have the love of Christ in our hearts if we don't care enough about others to warn them of the judgment to come? The dead shall live. There's the hour of salvation, and that hour is now. When those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, if they're willing to hear the voice of the Son of God and believe on him, they shall live. But there is an hour of the resurrection that's coming. We shouldn't be surprised, because we ought to understand, we ought to know that at the voice of Jesus Christ, every grave will be opened. Every soul will be raised, and every person will be judged. Those who have heard and believed his voice, resurrected to life. And those who have rejected, to the resurrection of damnation. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and tonight you know in your heart you need him, you can repent and believe. You can be saved tonight. Majority of you here have been saved a while. May God convict our hearts about this resurrection of damnation. May he convict our hearts to realize that we got family members and friends and neighbors and everybody we meet, we can't see their soul. We ought to be motivated to share the gospel with everyone we can. Let's get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand, please? Father, as we get ready to have this invitation tonight, I pray you'd help us to just focus on you. Lay aside all of our fleshly worries and all of our temporal distractions and all of our petty things that might be in our hearts or minds tonight. And Lord, help us to just get the reality of the eternal consequences of what we hear, what we believe, and how we live. Lord, I pray that you would break our hearts for the lost that are around us, knowing that there are so many that stand on the precipice ready to step off into eternity without Christ. Lord, give us a burden for the lost. Give us a compassion and a courage to go to them. Lord, I pray in this invitation tonight that you would move in our hearts. That if there's one soul that's not saved, they'll come and trust Christ tonight. And for those who are saved, that we would be broken and burdened for our lost family members and friends and coworkers and classmates and just strangers, Lord, that you would move in our hearts tonight. That we would fall on our faces before you and pray for others to be saved. Please, Lord, help us. Thank you for the promise of the resurrection of life. And may we live as though we've been given life. Please bless in this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
Page 516.
Number 516. He's calling you tonight. You need to come and pray for somebody that's lost. You need to pray for yourself to be a witness. Whatever it is, would you come?